Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
And it is time to fire it up again. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. Carla, welcome in.
So good to be back. I almost forgot the way to the studio.
Yes, this is how it is in studio with Jose behind the glass. Jose, you doing okay?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited. I'm applying for a new job. Things are looking up.
Oh, no, wait.
What revelation are you giving us?
No. We're going to have to come back
on
to that
later.
There's going to have to be a lot of unpacking.
Are y'all keeping something from me?
Yeah, we're at risk of losing
Jose.
When's the reveal?
Hour one or hour two?
Good question.
Got to be tonight. You can't leave me hanging.
No, we won't leave you hanging. We can't leave you hanging.
Thank you.
You won't leave me alone if I leave you hanging.
All right, that's true.
And you know what? If he leaves us, Carla, it will be for good reason. Because the last 2 weeks, of course, we've missed for different reasons. I've just returned from a fabulous trip in Italy where right now it's about 4 in the morning. So if you catch me dozing off in the middle of the show, you just carry the show for us. It'll be no problem. But I am at 4 in the morning feeling great to be here.
I know you look very spry. I'm impressed.
Very spry.
Pasta was good to you.
I ate a lot of pasta, a lot of pizza. My face is a little fuller than it was before.
That's not true.
Well, yes.
Italian wine kind of balances that out.
Maybe it
did. Looks like it agreed with you.
And then you, the week prior to that, you were off in Golden State. You were watching. You went to Portland to see the big finish game, right?
Living my best life. I saw the closeout game.
Amazing.
Game 4, the sweepity sweepster. It was amazing. It was one of the best days of my life.
How long were you in Portland?
24 hours.
Oh, that sucks. That's a nice city. That's a cool city.
It's a great city.
A little weird. Boston a bit.
I like weird. I'm from California. Yeah. It's all good. But it was... Let me tell you, that arena is loud.
Yeah.
Loud and proud, but it was a beauty. It was a closeout like I have never seen. It was amazing.
Well, a great closeout, and it put the Warriors where they are now. 1-1 in the series against Toronto, and when we return, we will unpack that. You'll get all the opinions firsthand from the Gloss. We'll break down Golden State Toronto when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to the Boss and the Gloss. And last night's game, I know you were watching. I know you didn't sleep after the big win.
Oh, my goodness. I lost my voice during the game.
There were so many different nuances that unfolded in that game. Boogie Cousins was one of the most compelling stories to me because, well, the Warriors got a contribution from a guy that they really could not expect to deliver the way he did.
And the Raptors didn't expect him to deliver the way he did either. He's my MVP of last night.
Well, because he really came from oblivion. I mean, you think about how long he's been sitting out to be able to get his head back into the game.
45 days.
45 days.
Since the second game of the initial series with the Clippers, game 2 of the Clippers game, is when he tore his quad.
Well, my first reaction when I hear that is, boy, that just underscores how long the NBA playoffs are. I mean, it's been 45 days when he was playing, injured, and now he's come back.
I mean, you can see why these players, it's hard to gear up for an 82-game regular season.
Well, it makes the regular season, yes, a long, long marathon. And then, of course, for these teams like the Warriors and, frankly, the Cavaliers when they had LeBron, who make it to the finals every year, with that long playoff series, they're pretty worn out. They're playing a whole other season.
The Warriors run, and the Cavaliers, too, as you noted, this adds a whole year to their basketball legs.
Yep.
You know, as far as they've gone in the postseason for the past 4 years.
Right.
An entire year.
So the other thing that stood out to me was the way that Golden State moved the ball, that in that third quarter, that all their baskets were off assists. Just an amazing team in passing and ball movement.
22 of their 22 second half baskets were assisted. See, all of them. Did you understand that? All of them.
That's crazy because usually there's one fast break play that slips through and there's no pass. No, they had to work it with ball movement to pass. The screens they set, the way their offense is in perpetual movement, is just very, very impressive.
And credit the Raptors' defense. I mean, that's why there weren't fast breaks. I mean, yeah. The Raptors have an incredible defense. These two teams are eerily similar from the coaches, you know, with Nurse and Kerr and their demeanor and their confidence and their calm, to the type of players that they have. I mean, eerily similar in character, which makes it really interesting, too. But I really want to go back to Boogie Cousins for a minute, who I gave the game MVP to last night. Who would have thought after playing, you know, so he's missed 45 days. Well, first of all, he sat out one year, with a torn Achilles, which is a devastating injury, and you don't really know how you can come back from that.
Yep.
He sacrificed in that he, you know, no team was interested in him. He was open to play on a one-year deal at a bargain. Nobody picked him up. So he called, I'm going to try the Warriors, see if they'll do it. He basically gave him a fire sale on himself, you know. So they took it. It worked out to be a great deal for him. And then he has this devastating, you know, torn quad in the beginning of the playoffs. Now, Boogie, this is interesting. I have a fun fact for you, just as a little aside. He is the first John Calipari Kentucky player to play in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so that is surprising.
I was shocked on that. I had to do a little research, and that is true. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Not the
playoffs, but the finals. You're talking about one of the most prolific collegiate programs, and Calipari has obviously done a lot for a lot of players. Yes, it's a very surprising statistic.
So, okay, so back to Boogie. That was my little fun fact for the moment. But you look and you see how diligently he rehabbed his torn Achilles. Well, he has done the same in 45 days with this torn quad. So game one in the Toronto series, he goes in about 8 minutes, and he looks gassed, as you can imagine. He's tired and all of this. I don't know that even Steve Kerr could have seen in his crystal ball that he would be able to get 28 minutes out of Boogie Cousins. Now, the Warriors were dropping off like flies last night, and Kevon Looney goes out with a chest contusion, and Boogie's got to play more minutes for him. But what I really saw with Boogie was that his basketball IQ is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
He has integrated so well into this Warriors system, which is, as you noted, it's like water bugs. They are all over the place. I mean, it's really hard. There's so much ball movement and this and that. He was making everything happen for them. And he was able to be on the court for 28 minutes with buckets, with passes, with screens. I mean, he was doing it all. It was so impressive. So credit his work ethic. Credit his sacrifice to be willing to take a lot less to play for a contender. He is in the finals for the very first time, and he is not taking this for granted.
Well, and he made some great defensive stops, too. He played at both ends of the floor. Really great contributor last night.
11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. That's a beautiful line.
Well, and now he's there for the rest of the series. Obviously, the health of Durant, Clay, hanging in the balance. But it looks like you'll have Cousins for the rest of the series.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, God. Knows.
Yeah, they're dropping like flies.
Right.
Let me go to the last basket for the Warriors. Iggy shot. You're a longstanding Warriors fan. The ball finds its way into his hands. Nobody's there. He's all on his own. He's got a chance at a three. Did you want him to take the shot?
Absolutely.
No hesitation.
No hesitation. And here's where I think all these analytics people, you've got to have the human factor play into your decision on what you're doing here. Because analytics-wise, Nick Nurse is right. Iguodala had a 24% chance of making that shot.
I like that bet for Nick Nurse at that moment.
Absolutely. Right. And I don't fault Nick Nurse for that. I mean, he's right. If you're looking strictly at analytics, okay, he's not the one you're as worried about on the court. The human factor that the Raptors missed out on is the fact that he has not only does Iguodala have championship DNA times three, he has NBA Finals MVP DNA. He was the catalyst in their first championship in 2015. When you have a guy like that who has ice, he can smile and melt a grandmother's heart, and he's got ice water running through those veins. You want that ball. I mean, the ball found his hands because of the beautiful and totally amazing assist from Sean Livingston. I want you to break it down. You have a great breakdown of that.
Well, I don't know that I do,
I
but
it.
We were talking about it before, and the amazing thing is, there have been some second-guessing as whether the Raptors should have given Iggy that open look. But the way I see it is the Raptors really decided they were going to double-team Steph early. They went for the steal. They almost got it. I mean, Steph did a Houdini act to avoid the double-team, to avoid the turnover. Great move by Steph. And then he was able to break free just enough to make the pass over to Livingston. And look, if Livingston hadn't come toward the pass, if he just stood back there and waited, Kawhi was going to step in front of it and take it. Leonard was right there. But Livingston both came to the ball, caught it, and almost in one movement made that quick pass over to Iggy. And Iggy was all alone. I mean, he had all the time in the world. But that movement that went from Curry to Livingston to Iggy very, very quickly broke the double team, broke down the Raptors, set up an easy three, and that was the end of the game. Really, really impressive.
And it's also experience and playing together and knowing where your people are going to be. And you're just as you noted, Livingston coming towards the ball, knowing that Steph's got two defenders on him. He's going to have to come towards it to anticipate that pass. Here's where Livingston was brilliant. It was a no-look pass to Iguodala. So if you're Toronto, you don't think it's going there to him. So that bought Andre an extra second or two to kind of set his feet and go, okay, I guess I'm taking this. Whereas if Livingston is looking at him, that second or two is not there. I mean, Toronto's a great defensive team and they can read very well. Someone's going to get to him, not quickly, but quicker than they did last night. So credit Livingston. It was a beautiful, no-look, perfect pass right in the hands of Mr. Ice Cold Iggy.
And so the series tied 1-1.
Ice cold veins. He wasn't ice cold with that shot, but had missed 13 of 14 threes before that.
Yeah, he made the one he needed.
He got the one he needed.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a visit from Joel Blank. He is an NBA expert. He's also a show host on KFNC Houston. And we will ask him about the series and also other matters in the NBA. What is going on with the Lakers? Can LeBron get a free agent? So much poised to happen in this NBA offseason. Joel Blank when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I don't want you to take a chance on being stranded. I need you to stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Thank you, boss. You're always looking out for me.
All right, now joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line, Progressive makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote on progressive.com today. It is Joel Blank, NBA expert and show host on KFNC Houston. Joel, welcome in with David and Carla.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Always a pleasure. My batteries are always charged when I get to talk to you two guys.
There
so
we go.
Forward to it.
Love that.
Joel, you are always my favorite. Your energy is just coming through the mics. I love it already.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Let's talk some hoops and other things.
Okay, can we start with the finals? I know it's we're fresh off of game two, and I've got an interesting question for you because I'm hearing different things, and I want your expert opinion. So, who should be more encouraged after last night? Should it be Toronto because they withstood the 18-0 deluge by Golden State to start the second half and got within 2 points of that winning that game, or should it be Golden State, who was able to win in Toronto without KD, without Klay for part of it, without Kevon Looney for part of it, with Steph with flu-like symptoms, and couldn't get a basket for over 5 minutes of the fourth quarter until Iggy's three that stole the win?
Yeah, I think, Carly, it's got to be Golden State, simply because of the fact that they went on the road. When you're the home team in a raucous environment that, you know, had showed in game one just how effective a sixth man is supposed to be as a crowd and as an arena and as a support system. Mm-hmm. And then you've got players, most of them in their first finals with a few exceptions, that couldn't find the energy and the emotion and the desire to end that 18-0 run and do what was necessary to get a must-needed home win. Otherwise, giving up home court advantage to a team that also has not only a great home court, but they have the experience of winning multiple titles that is under their belt. That is something that the Raptors are going to find is a very, very key ingredient to trying to win another championship like the Raptors are trying to do for the first time. I think Golden State has been able to persevere all these injuries, and the fact that, you know, a lot of people, the much maligned lack of a bench for the Warriors was an easy criticism all season long, including all the way in the first two rounds of the playoffs. But you look at every single name that was called by Steve Kerr last night, and they did something. It may not be, you know, 10, 12, 15 points, but it might be a key steal. Or in the example of Quinn Cook, three huge threes when they really needed someone to step up with Thompson out. And the fact that in 22 made field goals in the second half, all 22 were assisted upon, that is the epitome of team basketball. That's why the Warriors feel like no matter who's in the lineup and who's available, they're going to be successful, whereas the Raptors have to be scratching their temple going, do we really have what it takes to beat this team in a seven-game series based on what we just gave away at home?
That's so true, Joel. And your point about, you know, people being called on, that, you know, Kerr went to an 11-man rotation last night, and you look at even Andrew Bogut, who only had 6 minutes but had three key tip-ins. I mean, you don't
typically see that. And you know why, Carly? It's because he knew the offense, and what a savvy move by Bob Myers in the Golden State front office to say, if we need help and getting some backup up front for the playoffs, why wouldn't we bring in a guy that's been in the system, played with us to know where I should be, where I shouldn't be, and how I can be effective, even if it is, like you said, for 6 minutes at a time?
Okay, front office, Joel, I've got to take you to Houston on that question. So while I think the Warriors are clearly the gold standard for the front office in the NBA, what's going on with the Rockets? There's a lot of talk with D'Antoni's contract, with what's going on with Daryl Morey and Tilman Fertitta on one side and this and that. And secondly, is the Rockets' success dependent on the Golden State Warriors' offseason?
You know what? I don't know that it's dependent anymore on the Golden State Warriors' offseason, simply because there's so many other teams that are now going to factor in. A young Denver team who's gotten better and will continue to do so. A Portland team that all they have to do is get their all-star center back in Nurkic, and suddenly they're already better than they were, and they made the Western Conference Finals. The Rockets didn't. I don't know that it was possible to take two franchises, one with the historic, legendary-type reputation of the Lakers, and watch them crumble so quickly and rapidly, especially when Magic Johnson got involved, to where they are now. But the only situation that I think looks almost as bad is Houston's, because how quickly they have crumbled from a team that looked like the second-best team to the Warriors for the last 2 years, now are sitting there looking at a situation where your head coach is in a lame duck situation, and seemingly based on quotes, the owner likes him there and says he might have done me a favor, because now if he underachieves, I'm not on the hook for three more years. But if he overachieves, he can hold a gun to my head and get a bigger contract. Well, maybe he doesn't even want to be there based on the fact that after two successful seasons with tape and glue, keeping a team together and winning and winning and winning, he isn't going to be rewarded. And then you look at your two best players, and they're at odds because of who had the ball the most in the final game of the season. And the fact that they didn't do exit interviews means that hasn't gone away. Subsequently, they also then cleaned out all the assistant coaches and some key player personnel guys that were very close with both Chris Paul and James Harden, which is not going to sit well. And you've got a new owner who's still getting his feet wet, but wants to make his presence felt and wants to make it known that he's committed to winning, and has said some things that have put a lot of pressure on this franchise. If I'm a free agent and I'm looking at possible destinations, I'm not sure that I'd want to go to either place. At least you have stability with LeBron James, and you know that he's been able to carry an entire 15-man roster for the majority of his career. Whereas you look at all the different infighting that's going on between ownership and management and the head coach and the two best players, and the fact that they're cap-strung as four players control $95 million in salary cap space next year. They look like, as quickly as they've ascended to being the best competition for the Warriors, they could fall just as quickly to the bottom half of the Western Conference playoff standings.
We're talking to NBA expert Joel Blank. I want to shift gears and talk about the Lakers. So LeBron is there. They've got the opportunity to sign some guys to max contracts. Do you see them landing one of these top three or four agents who are going to hit the market?
You know, I don't think a lot of people do, but I'm one of those that hold out hope simply because of the fact that you have a guy like LeBron James, who is one of the best to ever lace him up, that it still has something left in the tank. Because we all forget that until he went down with the groin injury and missed over a month of the season, that team was a top four seed in the West. That night that he went down, they still ended up beating the Golden State Warriors, and they were winning for most of the game before he went out and still found a way to win. To the point where you can, and last year proved it, you can put just about anybody around him, including a cast of misfits, and he can find a way to win. I think that the trade market is huge for the Lakers to get at least one of the two max players they hope to get, because getting an Anthony Davis, if he decides New Orleans situation still isn't for him, and he can't wait for Zion to develop, would be a perfect fit, because now you've got a veteran. He's an inside guy to go with LeBron's kind of perimeter game, and they would complement each other well. And then if you get those two guys, they can also work on recruiting a third star, and they have the money to do so. The biggest thing, David, is going to be it takes a very special kind of skill set and personality to know that they have to blend in with a LeBron James and all that he brings to the table, as opposed to, say, a Kevin Durant, who, if he does leave Golden State, it's going to be so that he can be Batman, not Robin, and that no matter what happens, it is his franchise, and his legacy will be defined by what he does for a franchise instead of what they as a team have collectively done over the last several years.
All right, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but I have to ask you, this offseason is so poised for drama when you think about the free agents that are going out there.
Who's, all the K's.
I mean,
KD, Kyrie, and Kawhi.
Those three are amazing free agents.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's poised to really reel them in?
I think the Clippers. I think, you know, because for everything that we've said, when you say Jerry West is at the top of your basketball operation,
yep,
and Doc Rivers is your head coach, and you have an owner that's willing to spend and give you the resources necessary, and you also now have a core group that led your team to the playoffs when no one expected them to be a top eight team going into the season, even after they traded away some of their best players mid-season, you have to say that the Clippers, where Kawhi Leonard is rumored to have number one on his list, no matter if they win it or not, basically all rumors are pointing towards him going home to L.A. and not wanting to be in the LeBron James circus. He wants to be the man, and that would be the team. You just throw Kawhi Leonard on that team, and they're instantaneously one of the top four teams in the West. But because they have two slots open, that's also going to be very advantageous to some of the names you mentioned and others to say, well, where do I go to get a fresh start with a great bunch of young players, a solid head coach, and a legendary guy on top of the food chain in Jerry West? Clippers, and it's Los Angeles. So from a marketing standpoint, the weather and everything else, it seems like it would be a match made in heaven for so many free agents. I think they're going to have to say no to more players than they're going to have to go after the players they want and have to recruit them very hard.
Amazing. We're talking to NBA expert Joel Blank. I got about 1 minute, maybe less. Right. Where does Kyrie Irving land?
Well, you know what? I think it's either the Knicks or the Nets. He's from New Jersey.
Yep.
He's always dreamed about playing at the Garden. I think for as much as that was a harmonious relationship early on in Boston, Danny Ainge has some tough decisions as well. But I think Kyrie is another guy looking for a fresh start, looking for a chance to kind of, again, be the man, prove he can be that, but also, you know, build a legacy by winning with a franchise that hasn't traditionally won like the Celtics. I think luckily for Danny Ainge, you've got some guys like Scary Terry and Jason Tatum to build around so that you can still be successful. But I think Kyrie's going elsewhere, and I think it would be one of the New York teams that's where he sets up his camp.
One last quickie. Anthony Davis, any way they can keep him in New Orleans to pair with Zion, or is he going to go off in a trade?
I think he's got to go, guys, simply because of the fact the age difference is so great between him and Zion. By the time Zion develops a jump shot and gets used to the NBA, he'll be in his early 30s. He needs to win and win now, and that's why it's a perfect scenario for him to go to a team like the Lakers and for the Pelicans to keep rebuilding around Zion.
Awesome stuff. Joel Blank, thanks so much for joining us.
I wish we could have you the whole hour.
Anytime you guys need me, you know that.
Thank you.
All right, have a great night.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I want to talk travel with you for just a minute. You love to travel,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, Mr. Italy. Just rub it in while I'm sitting here in this sauna in Houston, Texas.
Well,
thank
I can
you.
Tell you that when I was in Italy this last week, I booked a hotel room at a really, really, really great rate. It was at, I got it at besthotelrates.com. It's in the name. It's that easy. It's besthotelrates.com. I went on there. Best Hotel Rates has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. Yes, where I was in Italy. And all these discounts, they're extended to you. If you go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila, you'll get a discounted rate on many hotel rooms. And you will get a much better price than you would have if you had tried to find a hotel anywhere else. Go to besthotelrates.com. That's my advice to you today.
So are you going to give me some vacations I can test it out?
Well, you've already had a few joy rides of your own. Listen, it's a sore spot. This is why Jose's applying for another job. Do I need to bring this up? I guess it's now time we tell her, Jose.
You guys keep abandoning me.
Well, look, Carla left for that big...
Mine was for work.
Closeout game.
All business in the Western Conference.
She had to go watch the game with Portland and Golden State. But no, this is a sore spot. I think it's time we got it out in the open. Jose, our longstanding producer here, sort of the wind underneath our wings.
He's the man glue who makes that us, keeps us together.
He's the one who makes it all work. He's applied for another job.
I have.
Jose, do tell. This is killing me.
I'd like to tell it because I'm intrigued. But first of all, Jose, let me just set this up, and then you can explain really why you're so interested. But, Carla, are you familiar with a dating app called Bumble?
Now, what kind of setup is that?
Well, I just wanted to know.
I have read about it.
You've read about it. You're
yes.
not out on Bumble, are
no.
you? Okay. Your man friend wouldn't like that.
No, he wouldn't.
Okay.
And none of them would.
None of those men would. Of course not.
Set yourself up.
Yes. All right. Look, Bumble has decided they're going to hire one lucky person. One lucky person. Jose would like to be that lucky person. Who will get to take an all-expenses-paid year-long dating adventure around the world. So what this person will do is he will go country to country. This is the job description. For 12 months, you will travel to different parts of the world to go on dates, make friends, and, quote, create professional connections with other Bumble users.
Oh, no, Tio.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is what Jose has applied to do. Do you think he's qualified? I mean, does he have what it takes to be, well, here's the job title. He would be what's called a Global Connector B, a Global Connector B on behalf of Bumble. You got it, Jose? Is that your job? Is that what you want?
I'm hoping for. I submitted the resume already.
Would you leave us for that?
I mean, I would hope there's a situation in which I could produce the show remotely if I'm, I don't know, somewhere in Greece.
Oh, you'll be out on some date with some bimbo that you met on Bumble.
A bimbo Bumble?
That's
Bumble
what I'm
bimbo.
Hearing.
Bumble I mean, the sad thing is, Jose, you are very qualified. I think you're overqualified. And I'm not sure that Bumble girls deserve my Jose.
No, I
this
know.
This is my problem.
It could get out of hand very fast.
I knew she was going to be overprotective, boss.
Yes, she
I am. You know
yeah.
that. I am that way.
There's only one Jose in your life.
There's only one Jose in my life. There will not be another. Just well. Not sure I'm ready to put him out to the Bumble world. We're just going to have to.
He's going to get stung.
I am clearly bumbling through this because this is a very hard thing for me to hear.
No, she's getting emotional now.
Now, can you imagine, just to pull the curtain back a little bit, Carla, can you imagine my surprise? My heart jumped when the boss emailed me, you need to apply for this job. And then I was like, oh, no. So I opened the email and I see what it is. I was like, oh, sure. I'll definitely apply.
Yeah, fair. Very true. Yeah, Jose, that David, you did catch him off guard there.
Well, there was not much hesitation on his part. Once
you
saw what the gig was.
You're all feeling yourself Mr. Suave Italian after your, you know, little vacation.
Well, I was in Italy last week.
You're
but I did not venture out on Bumble.
That's
nothing happened
good,
out there.
Because you've got a great bride. You don't need Bumble.
That's it. Okay. Well, there are other people.
Jose will talk.
Jose, let me just conclude this whole piece in your job and your new role as a global connector B for Bumble and traveling from country to country and writing blogs on your experiences, dating and making professional connections with
Could
people
I write
on Bumble.
Those on Culture Map or is that a conflict of interest?
You can write it on
Bumble.
Oh, nice.
CultureMap.com. We'll
Look
find a place for
thinking.
Jose.
I love this.
Listen, when you do travel, be sure to get your hotel room at besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com. That's it. All right. Well, I'm very encouraged. Listen, there are a lot of other people out taking new jobs, and that is true in the NFL. And we should just sort of everybody up. There's still a lot of off-season movement taking place post-draft.
The league that doesn't sleep.
You know, it really doesn't. Ndamukong Suh is a guy on the move, and he's been picked up. I actually thought it was a pretty good fit. He's going to go to the Buccaneers. I think he slides right in there where Gerald McCoy has departed. And Sue is late in his career. He's been a guy who's always gotten a lot of penalties on the field. But he's going to fit well into that Bruce Arians defense.
Oh, yeah. And he and Jameis Winston, oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a match made in heaven.
You like that pick.
But, you know, Gerald McCoy has a new job. He's going to be a Carolina Panther.
He did sign with the Panthers. Okay, I'd heard that
today.
Good for him. Look, McCoy's still got some gas in that tank.
I think he's
still a very, very good player. Obviously, had a great career, came out of Oklahoma, has been a top performer for many, many years. Sort of in oblivion there because the team, the Buccaneers, they've never really been good. So McCoy, he'll get a better stage with the Panthers, right? He'll get a chance to compete. Panthers, if Newton is healthy, are a team that could be in the hunt.
Exactly. And you look, you know, Bruce Arians, I think, is the perfect choice for Tampa Bay. If he can't get into Winston, I think this is the end.
Yeah.
This is the end. He knows him from, you know, quarterback camps. He can relate to him. They have a relationship. This is Winston's year.
Yeah, this is the option of the extra year on his rookie deal. And so if he doesn't perform this year, it's hard to see why the Bucs would stay with him.
And it would be really hard to see him eating his fingers again in the huddle. I hope someone told him to stop that.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, you talk about quarterbacks. I had this vision about Josh Rosen, and it's such a dark vision because I actually am encouraged for the guy. I want him to get a fresh start in Miami, but there he goes. He's going to the Dolphins, and of course, they've got Fitzmagic there. And Fitzmagic is, by all means, at this point, the better quarterback. He's going to be the starter at the beginning, but clearly the potential future for the Dolphins is Rosen. But that team just doesn't have any talent around him. So here's my vision. Josh Rosen, he went to the Cardinals, no talent, and with no supporting cast, he did not perform well. Cardinals ditch him, draft Kyler Murray. Fast forward a year later, what do you really expect Josh Rosen to be able to show the Dolphins this year? Probably not much with the lack of supporting cast. Dolphins
and he's got a defensive coach in Brian Flores.
And Brian Flores
is not really going to be able to develop him.
Fair point. And then at the end of the year, Dolphins have one of the worst records. Oh, my gosh, there's a guy named Tua. And maybe he's the one, but probably Tua, who goes number one to the Dolphins. What do you do with Josh Rosen? Well, you trade him away, right? It could be this. It could be deja vu all over again for Josh Rosen with the Dolphins.
I think it's Josh Rosen. I think it's such a tricky situation because he went to UCLA as the, you know, cover boy coming out of high school and didn't have much success there. Wasn't on the field a lot because of injuries. Jim Mora gets fired, goes to the Arizona Cardinals. That coach gets fired. Steve Wilkinson gets fired. Then, you know, now what's going to happen? Brian Flores should be a little bit nervous. Josh and his fire hose seem to follow him around everywhere.
Well, I would not like to be – I mean, Brian Flores is – he's joined a team that's set up to lose. I mean, yes. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about
there's not a lot of pieces
tanking this year. Now, you can tell they're not tanking because they got Josh Rosen. Yeah, but they're tanking for Tua, and it's all set up that way. Another quarterback getting a lot of attention, new quarterback, is, well, Daniel Jones of the Giants. He got a lot of press this week, some of it's just sort of fun, right? They're poking at the fact that he looks – moves, talks just like Eli Manning. In fact, the joke, and there were some pictures side by side, the two of them, that Daniel Jones is the younger son of Eli Manning, which is a joke I don't think Eli Manning would take so well, but that Eli is the father, Daniel Jones is the son. There's no Holy Ghost. I mean, it is what it is, but Daniel Jones is he's looking pretty good in the voluntary camps. He's throwing the ball well, and Saquon Barkley came to his defense when people were critiquing him, and Saquon is saying, well, wait till he wins two Super Bowls. Then you'll all be regretting that you critiqued the Giants for trading up and getting him reaching and drafting him so highly.
Well, if I'm a fan of the New York Football Giants, I'm saying to myself, well, we've got Dave Gettleman. There's that as our GM.
Right. The man with the plan.
The man with the plan. And guess what he's done? He's taken the best wide receiver in the game in Odell Beckham Jr. and basically gave him to the Cleveland Browns. And then you draft with your highest pick in the draft, a quarterback out of Duke. I'm sorry. That kind of sounds funny to me. So, I mean, he might look good in OTAs, but really, what does that mean right now? I mean, I hope it's not his fault, but think about it. This is the New York Football Giants. Eek.
You know, the team that I actually think had a sneaky good draft was the Redskins, because they got Dwayne Haskins and Montez Sweat.
Oh, I love what the Redskins have done.
Two guys in the first round who have very, very, very high ceilings. And the Redskins have some other pieces. They've got a good defensive front, maybe one of the best front sevens in the league. So look out for the Redskins. When you look at the NFC East, it's not a great division.
It's kind of still the NFC least.
It's sort of the NFC least. I mean, the Eagles' future depends upon the health of Carson Wentz. Cowboys seem to have a lot of talent, but we're not sure how far.
I think they're going to be the NFC East leaders.
Well, I'd like to think so. Longstanding Cowboys fan. I mean, to me, the question is Dak Prescott going to be an above-average quarterback or really an elite quarterback? Because I just don't know that he's shown us.
Except Kellen Moore.
Well, Kellen Moore is the young gun. There's all this trend, of course.
That's the bet I don't love. I do put my money on Dak Prescott. I'm not sure about Kellen Moore, but you know what? We'll see.
We'll see. They do have all the pieces around them, though.
They do.
Talk about an offense that's set up to make a quarterback succeed with that offensive line, with Ezekiel Elliott, with good receiving core. Listen, Randall Cobb he's the guy that they're expecting to take the place of Cole Beasley. He's really a more athletic Cole Beasley. Mm-hmm. He's, at this point, in Beasley's career at least, I think Cobb is a faster player. I think that when you look at all the pieces on the offense, and to bring back Jason Witten, who is a real security blanket for the quarterback, and Dak Prescott, I just have to believe the Cowboys have all the pieces to make Dak successful. Now, he's still a young quarterback. He's still a developing quarterback. But he may be the difference between whether this Cowboys team sort of finds its way into the playoffs or really excels and gets deep into the playoffs.
And really credit Stephen and Jerry Jones. Since 2012, passing on Johnny Manziel, they have had amazing drafts. That, to me, was the flip over for Dallas.
Yep.
They have really done well with their draft picks.
Every draft has gone well, except for maybe 2017 when they took Taco Charlton, number one overall. That draft, they picked up Awuzie and Lewis. They got some pieces, but that's the one draft pick, Taco Charlton, that needs to still develop. But
yeah, I think he is still developing.
You know, look, he's had some
injury
issues. If he's healthy this year, maybe you will see Taco become, well, the Taco that everybody wants him to become. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Texans, the position that I've really been excited to watch for them and see where they go, believe it or not, is the tight end position. Ryan Griffin gone, but these two young Jordans they picked up a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Both show a lot of talent.
Jordan Thomas, Jordan Aiken. Yes.
Love both the Jordans. And then they picked up a guy in the third round who has a lot of raw material that everybody's pretty excited about to join that roster. They've got three young tight ends, all of whom could make a mark.
Oh, yes. The one they picked up in the third round is Kahale Waring out of San Diego State. This is crazy. He's a converted water polo, basketball, and swimming standout.
That's a natural background for a tight end in the NFL.
And he didn't pick up football until his senior year in high school, but he's got this freakish athleticism.
Yep.
He's a project at the tight end position,
yep.
But really that he's coachable. They love his work ethic, and his athleticism obviously is off the charts from water polo to basketball.
Yep.
What in the world? But I think the same with Jordan Thomas. So he was the rookie tight end last year. He's really impressing Deshaun Watson, the OC Tim Kelly, Bill O'Brien. He's got this great prototypical size at 6'5", 280. He's out of Mississippi State. He's a former outside receiver, but he's now learning to block and become more of a complete tight end. So he's going to continue to develop, learn these intricacies. He's going to be one to watch. He had some great catches last year. I look for a big year for him.
All right, when we come back, well, we're going to reveal one thing that the Gloss, my co-host here, Carla Dawson, has in common with Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Juju.
When we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And this first hour has been sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, I promised going into break that I would explain what Juju Smith-Schuster and the Gloss, my co-host here, have in common. What's fun is that, well, Juju was invited to go to a prom by a male member, a fan, who wanted him to come to his high school prom, and the two of them wore matching tuxes, and Juju entered the dance floor. And
do you know why he got the invite?
Why did he get the invite?
Because the high school senior, his girlfriend dumped him right before prom.
Ah, so and Juju to the rescue.
How about that?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good consolation prize if you're a big Steelers fan.
Yeah, sure.
Well, but that raises the question then. So Juju goes to the prom. Let's talk about what you have in common with him. Okay, first of all, you both went to USC.
Yes, we did. Fight on.
Fight on. At a prom.
Same vintage, too, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could go to the prom. You would be happy to go to a prom and just dance the night away.
Yes, I'm all about the dancing.
She can dance. You've seen her in Jose. When Jose plays the right music on Coming Out of Breaks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the woman can move.
Jose rocks with the music, too.
Yeah, he takes care of it.
I do take 3 hip-hop classes a week. Just saying.
But for those who did not see it.
This is true, Jose.
The dancers were chanting, mocking A.B. Antonio Brown for leaving the Steelers. You wouldn't do that.
I would not drop F-bombs at a prom.
No F-bombs.
Or ever. Ever, actually.
Or ever. Her language is clean. Hour number 1 of the books. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.